Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, time for today's Radio Boston final exam. Turn off your phones. Sit every other seat, please. Your test includes one simple series of questions. If you're a graduating college senior, or if you have a college degree of any kind already, how much student loan debt do you have? Is it too much? And is being in debt for tens or even hundreds of thousands of dollars really worth it? I really do want you to turn in your answers, and there are two ways you can do that. Either go to wbur.org/Boston, click on our Hubbub blog, and submit your answer and comments there in an online poll, or give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK, and let us know your answers on the air. And I ask because just last year, American students and their families took out $75 billion in federal loans, up 25% over the previous year. And that does not include billions more racked up in loans from private banks, which makes many people wonder if college loans, once considered good debt, are turning into a bad choice for students. We'll drill deeper into this question in a moment. But first, while you think about how to answer that final exam question, we turn to WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov, who recently met with one graduate who knows exactly how much debt she's in and wishes she weren't.
The chapel at Endicott College on the North Shore in Beverly rings out cheery tunes like this one, The Rainbow Connection from the Muppet Movie. It's an idyllic campus with sloping green lawns and man-made lakes with fountains. On a bench by a lake, graduate Nicole Benson sits taking it all in.
I honestly don't really remember why I decided to come here. I think location had a lot to do with it. My mother loved it. You know, it's a small and quiet campus.
Benson graduated in 2007 and had major sticker shock. She found out she owed $90,000.
And it was very, very devastating. It was very shocking. I mean, just to look at a number like that at 22 years old is very overwhelming.
She had taken out only $45,000 over the course of her 4 years of study. One of her eight loans is a federal loan, but the rest are from private banks with interest rates as high as 15%. The interest on the private loans began accruing as soon as she got them. Endicott is a small college which cost $31,000 a year when she attended. It doesn't have a large endowment, so most students face a $7,000 gap in their financial aid packages. That means after federal loans, grants, and scholarships, students and families who don't have the means turn to the private market to pay.
My mother kind of pushed me to go to school. I just never had anybody say to me, like, wait a minute, this is going to be expensive. I honestly just had absolutely no idea.
Benson's mother handled most of the federal and private loan paperwork. Nicole just signed. Benson's parents didn't go to college and didn't understand the loan process. Her mother and her grandmother co-signed some of the loans and are also behind on payments. They were all making the same calculation.
Even if it was expensive, it would pay off, and I would have a job after college where I could afford my student loans.
Endicott told her that with a degree in hospitality management, she could make $50,000 a year. And she did get a job after she graduated, but was laid off in 2009 when the economy went south and her trouble started.
I've cried a lot. It's been very, very emotional. It's taken its toll on a lot of aspects of my life. I'm very stressed out, very overwhelmed, and just very unsure of what I should do. I was getting probably 20 to 30 phone calls a day for a long time. And I tried to, you know, I would beg them. I'd say, look, I don't have a job. I don't know what you want me to do.
Now Benson has a bookkeeping job that pays by the hour. But her loans have grown to nearly $98,000. And her loan payments are more than $1,000 a month. She says to make a dent in what she owes, she figures she would have to pay $3,000 a month.
This unrealistic expectation of the payments that I should be able to make. I'm like, with what money?
Do you look down the line and go, you know, 20 years from now, where am I going to be?
Absolutely. And I don't know. You know, I mean, I just don't even know.
She gets emotional when talking about her future. Even though college graduates earn nearly two times more than those who just get a high school diploma, in her case, that's little consolation. She's thought about bankruptcy, but it wouldn't help, because federal and private student loans cannot be dismissed in bankruptcy. She's stuck with this debt for decades to come.
I don't know if I'll ever be able to get a mortgage and buy a house. It's looking pretty doubtful right now. It's very disappointing that, like, I work so hard. And I really have nothing to show for it. You know, I live in the cheapest place available to me. I drive a car that is barely running. You know, it's, I have absolutely nothing to show for absolutely busting my ass all the time.
Recently, Benson, working with a pro bono lawyer, was able to reach an agreement with two of the companies holding her loans to lower her payments. But the other private banks won't accept a deal. She's about to join a growing trend and default on some of her debt. The U.S. Department of Education expects almost 7% of students to default on their loans for fiscal year 2007, the highest rate since 1998. To the people who say it's all her fault, she should have known what she was getting herself into, Nicole Benson agrees, and she makes it very clear she wants to repay her loans, but she wants others to understand the larger consequences in the hopes the private student loan system will be reformed.
If such an enormous amount of the young adult population is in so much debt now, it definitely will affect the economy for years and years to come.
A recent poll from Harvard University found that a majority of young adults are concerned about meeting their bills. Benson doesn't blame Endicott College for getting her into debt. The school says it tells parents to at least pay the interest on private loans and go on monthly payment plans with the school, which are interest-free. But the school says the parents choose to stick their heads in the sand. That's basically what Nicole Benson and her family did, and now she's paying the consequences.
That report from WBUR's Monica Brady-Myrov. Monica joins us in the studio now. And Monica, let me ask you, Nicole Benson, the woman, young woman you talked to, $90,000 in debt. How common is that coming out of a Massachusetts college here?
I've talked to a lot of students and heard that figure and around that figure for more than I care to remember. It's, you know, there still is, under 10% who are, getting into this kind of debt overall, but it is a growing problem. And also with for-profit universities, it's also a growing area for accumulating private bank loan debt and also having trouble to pay it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me bring another voice into this conversation briefly. He's Michael Ryan. He's vice president of Borrower Services and American Student Assistance, a nonprofit group based here in Boston that helps students manage their debt. Michael Ryan, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks, Magna. Good to be here.
So the story we heard, $90,000 in debt. What is really do we have a sense as to the average that we are seeing in Massachusetts? And is that average debt load growing and affecting how students are choosing which colleges to go to?
It has indeed been growing, Magna, both on the federal and the private side. The average debt for the borrowers coming out of school now is about $23,000. That has risen a little bit each year. In fact, the cost of education rises a little bit faster than health care, and the average debt amount actually rising faster than the cost of education itself. So it has become a growing issue for many students. The example in Monica's piece was probably at the extreme end, not typical, but for many borrowers, facing the burden of repaying their higher education debt is a considerable consumer issue, and one where many borrowers are turning to organizations like ASA for help in understanding options and helping to manage that debt.
You know, in Monica's piece, we heard that part of the issue was private loans, and Nicole had taken out loans that garnered some 15% interest rate that were due the moment she took the loan. There was no deferring of that interest
rate.
So is there, I mean, is private loans the bigger issue here, or is it just the overall cost of college that because it's going up so fast?
Well, there's certainly an opportunity for parents and students to be better informed in terms of the types of loans that they choose when they're making those consumer choices. It was unfortunate to hear that that seven of the eight loans, I think, in the piece were for private loans and non-federal. In just about every case, students are going to be better served by borrowing to the maximum of their limits on federal loans before moving into private loan debt as an alternative. There could be circumstances where it's absolutely appropriate to supplement, but the big issue is students need to be informed as to what that debt looks like.
Yeah, and Meghna, 20% of the dependent students who have these private loans didn't take out federal loans. So there's a whole thousands of people are looking to private banks when they could be turning to the federal government for lower interest rate loans, just better loans.
Is it that they just didn't know that the federal loans were available?
Oftentimes, they're not informed. Also, the FAFSA form is, I mean, Mike can tell you what a maze that is. Everyone complains about it, and many people avoid it.
And it has been simplified. I think in many cases, it's just a more basic awareness issue. Private loans are marketed. They're not evil. They have their role. But many students are not aware of the federal loans as a preferred option, not only in terms of the lower interest rates and overall cost structure, but in terms of the flexibility offered as students approach repayment. Students have far greater options for deferment and forbearance and structured payments to meet their needs in the federal loan programs.
Let's get a quick call in here. Cillian's calling from Westwood. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. What's your story?
Well, I graduated from Westwood High in 2002, and I went on to Catholic University, and I graduated there in 2006 with about $25,000 in loans. And, I mean, that's obviously not even comparable to other stories that we've heard today, but it's definitely something I look at, and I'm extremely overwhelmed by the number because I think about my mortgage payment, whether or not I'll be able to even have one in the future. I don't anticipate buying a house. I had to basically inherit a car from my mom and dad. It's just loans really do take on such a bad specter in your life.
Cillian, let me just ask you a quick question. When you were in high school or even before and you were encouraged to go to college because it was supposed to give you a better life,
yeah.
Did you ever think that you'd come out of college feeling so indebted that you wouldn't even think that that better life was possible for a long, long time?
No, I definitely did not.
You were getting the opposite message.
Well, the thing is that my mom and dad were pretty blunt about it. They said, if you go to Catholic University, which is very expensive, you will be in debt for a while. And I didn't really even understand what debt was, you know, and I didn't understand that, you know, in order to buy a house, you had to have some credit. And if you wanted to buy a car, you would have to have some credit. And yeah. I have no credit because I can't make my monthly payments.
Wow, Cillian, thank you so much for your call. Michael Ryan, now, no one is suggesting here, at least, yet that college isn't intrinsically worth it. But for students who are struggling with this debt, what advice do you give them, especially when they're looking at the lives of borrowed cars, no mortgages because they can't afford it, penury, essentially?
Well, part of the message is hang in there. It is generally manageable. I would say to Cillian that you want to make sure you've explored all repayment options. So you might start out with a standard 10-year repayment option that leaves you a monthly payment that's unaffordable based on your circumstances. Look to understand what other options are available. There are extended repayment plans. There are deferments and forbearances for periods of temporary hardship when you can't make those payments. There are also opportunities to restructure that debt over a longer period of time. It may cost more in the long run, but might help you to manage through a particularly difficult period that many borrowers experience in the early years of repayment.
You know, Monica, I just have to ask you a quick question because it seems like we're asking college students or high school grads even to be like portfolio managers for all of these loans that they're taking on. Who can help them and what role do colleges themselves have to play here?
Well, we're going to investigate that more tomorrow morning on Morning Edition because they do have a role. Some colleges come out with their students having manageable debt load and others don't, and we're going to look at that role. But I'll also say here, parents have a role as well. You know, parents need to help their kids equate price and quality. And they need to understand that the average length of study in college is not 4 years. It's 5.6 years. And also, as many as half the students who enter transfer to another school. These all affect the price. Parents understand that more so than kids do or 18. So I'd say there's a lot of shared responsibility here, Meghna.
But in a world where price and quality may make us think that $50,000 or $60,000 tuition at some vaunted university equals quality, that's a tough equation to really know what the answer is.
I think more people are questioning that.
Well, that's WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov. She's reporting on this special series about the cost of college. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
And Michael Ryan, Vice President of Borrower Services at American Student Assistance, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you.
One final note today. You might remember on Friday's Week in Review segment, we had a caller phone in to talk about Rand Paul. He's son of Ron Paul and the Republican nominee for Senate in Kentucky. Well, one of our panelists remarked that Paul is named after libertarian novelist and philosopher Ayn Rand. One of our alert listeners wrote in to suggest that that might be wrong. So we checked out this YouTube video of Rand Paul, dated October 5th, 2009.
Now, I just shortened my name. I was always Randall, and really there was no intention by my parents or myself. But I am a big fan of Ayn Rand. I've read all of her novels.
Well, there you have it. Listeners, keep all your corrections and feedback rolling in to us at wbur.org/Boston. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow at 3 for more Radio Boston.